Oh, there's one part. Jim will be doing a little old come, come, come. When you hear that, don't be surprised.
Morning. It's really good to see such a large group this morning. I've got a few announcements that I want you to pay particular attention to. Of course, we've got the Fall Bazaar that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And Jan wants to encourage you to turn in your tickets. I think she's got a few of them, but there's a lot of them still out. Picture directories can be picked up today after the first service. Evie will have those ready for us. The next item is the flu shot clinic. I notice there's only an hour that's going to be held. I don't know if we have to register for that ahead of time or just show up. But I know there's paperwork involved with that, so... Being it's only an hour, maybe we should get here a little earlier to take care of the paperwork. Let's see. The next thing here that really catches my attention is the Holden Lutheran Annual Lutherfest Supper. And I noticed there's three of them on the same day. I don't know how they could do that to me. They can only go to one. So I guess you're going to have to be responsible for the rest of the announcements. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters to worship you today. Be with our loved ones and bring Pastor Jim and Karen back home safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our service will continue with the opening song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. We will rise at the last verse. I believe that's verse number 4. Okay.
And I just wanted to say one more thing. Don't forget, on Wednesday afternoon, we're having a support group for memory loss. If you know of anybody who is having some memory loss or anybody that's taking care of someone with memory loss, we invite you to come to this group. Our first song is Just As I Am, Without One Plea, and that's a very familiar song to, I think, just about everybody. If you've ever watched the Billy Graham Crusade or been to one, you know that song. It's about how we find salvation through Christ. It's a very simple, quiet message of sin, forgiveness, and salvation to any of us who turn from our sin and trust in Christ.
Just as I am,
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sins, whose mercies endureth forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sins. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind us, reaching out ahead, we may follow the way of your commandments and receive the crown of everlasting joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our anthem is My Savior and My God. It's a song by Aaron Schust about the miracle of Christ's love in our lives. Christ loves us, lives in our hearts, and will always be there for us.
I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at his right hand stands one who is my Savior.
Thank you. That was wonderful. First reading is from Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. We cannot hide our thoughts, desires, and actions from God, to whom we are completely accountable. Nevertheless, Jesus understands our human weakness and temptations, because he also experienced them. Therefore, we can approach the throne of Christ to receive divine mercy from Christ. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The psalm is Psalm 90, 12 through 17. And when you see the bold R, you say the refrain, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom.
Return, O Lord, how long will you tarry? Be gracious to your servants. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to heaven.
Satisfy us by your steadfast love in the morning, so shall we rejoice and be glad of our days.
Make us glad as many days as you afflicted us, and as many years we have suffered adversity.
Show your servants your works and your splendor to their children.
In the graciousness of the Lord our God, be upon us. Prosper the work of our hands. Prosper our handiwork. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel this morning is from Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. Jesus has been teaching his disciples about what is most valued in God's eyes. Now a conversation with a rich man brings his message home to the disciples in a way that is surprising but unforgettable. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit in eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away, grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. People began to say to him, Look, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children with fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This rich man that approached Jesus, he must have had some doubt in his mind whether he was going to go to heaven or not. When I look at this, I think he's kind of patronizing Jesus. He's like asking a favor, or he wants to get a good word, a good nod from him. He goes up and he says, Hey, good buddy, what is it that I have to do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you have to obey the commandments. The rich man said, Well, I've obeyed the commandments since I was a young kid. You know, I don't kill. I don't steal. Might have fudged a little bit one time on my income tax. Maybe I don't quite love my neighbor as much as myself. But basically, I think I'm okay. And Jesus said to him, You're lacking one thing, one of the commandments. What can that be? Well, Jesus said, The first commandment. Now, Jesus, I don't know if he knew this man, knew that he was rich, or if he knew of him, but he said, You're lacking the first commandment. And what is that? I am the Lord thy God. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, evidently, this man, this rich man, thought his money was more important to him than God. Being rich is not a sin. Actually, money is a good thing. It's how you use it that can be sinful. Now, this man, this rich man, thought that his possessions were more important to him than gold or than God. Have you ever heard the saying that the love of money is the root of all evil? Not money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Jesus told this man, and I think he knew what the answer was going to be, go sell everything, not something, everything, and give it all to the poor. The rich man thought, bummer. I don't want to do that. I had heard one time that if all the wealth on earth was distributed evenly, that in 7 years, the people that have the money today would have regained it all. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But people have a propensity of making money. Now, how do we define rich? I mean, we're considered rich by the standards of a lot of people in the world. Americans are rich. I mean, we are rich. We have everything. Now, when Jesus told this rich man to give everything to the poor, that's kind of like the redistribution of wealth. Our politicians would have a good time with that one. I am going to tell you about a movie that I saw one time. It was called A Simple Plan. And it was, I don't know if it was written by the Coen brothers, but it was directed by the Coen brothers. This particular movie was actually made in Minnesota. It was made in Delano. And it was a winter scene. And that particular winter, there was not much snow here. And they actually had to make snow and truck it in to make the movie. But this is the scenario. There was this young college educated student that had gotten a job with the local feed mill. He was their bookkeeper, their manager. He was struggling. He's trying to pay off his college loan. He was married with a wife who was pregnant and had a half-wit brother, and his brother's best friend was the town drunk. Well, what a combination. Have anybody seen that movie called The Simple Plan? The Coen brothers, it's kind of a dark comedy anyway, but it really didn't turn out to be a comedy. What happened is this is kind of what I see as a love of money. These guys, the three guys, were going to go rabbit hunting one morning. So they jump in their Chevy pickup, throw their beagle in the back, and they take off for the rabbit fields. As they're driving along through this lot of snow, a red fox runs in front of the pickup truck. And the beagle spotted it and jumps out and chased the fox. Well, these guys can't go rabbit hunting without a dog, so they follow the dog. And they're going through hip-deep snow into the woods, and they come upon an airplane. It was like a small jet airplane, almost completely covered with snow, and they brush the snow off and open the door, and there's a corpse in there. This guy had crashed and was killed. He started rummaging around in the plane, and he found a duffel bag full of money. $4 million. And the main character, the guy that ran the feed store, says, well, the only thing to do is turn this money in. You know, it's not ours. We got to give it back. Okay, let's do that. So they went home, and they told the wife what had happened. And she says, you know, we're kind of struggling here. We could use that money. I'm going to have a baby in a short time. Why, you know, nobody knows this plane has crashed so far. Why don't we just hold on to this money, hide it someplace, and after the snow melts, the authorities will find the plane. There will be no money there. They won't suspect any money. So after a bit, we can divide that money up and spend it. Well, sounded like a simple plan. But of course, when there's four people involved, people talk, they blab. Nobody trusted each other. They didn't know who should take care of the money or where it should be hidden. The end result was terrible. It ended up in murder, in suicide, and that simple plan turned into a fiasco. I mean, it was all for the love of money. I'm sure some of you have known of relationships, family relationships that have been strained because of inheritance. You know, money can do money is a good thing, but can do some strange things to people if you let it take control of your life. I personally know some families that are torn apart. People don't talk to each other just because of inheritance, whether the parents favored one over the other or they've been cheated or whatever. But it can be a problem. Now, like I say, money is a good thing. There's a few philanthropists around that I can name a few, like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. I mean, they intend to give 98% of their wealth away. Ted Turner has donated, or will donate, $1 billion to the United Nations. I can think of another little scenario about the prodigal son. Now, the prodigal son asked his dad, "Hey, why don't you just give me my inheritance now? I don't want to work here anymore. Let me have it." So the dad said, "Sure, you can have it. Take it, leave." So he did. Now, he had another son that stayed on the farm with him and worked. This prodigal son, the word prodigal means, what does it mean? I know what it means, but I can't think of it right now. It's extravagant, wasteful. That's what it means. This prodigal son took his money and he blew it. I mean, just wine, women, and song, and the rest he just blew foolishly. Finally, he comes home, and the dad sees him approaching, and what does he do? He tells his servants, "Go put my finest coat on him. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a feast home because my son is coming home." This story to me is more about the father than it is the son. But the other character in this thing is the other brother. How do you imagine that he felt seeing his brother that had squandered his half of the inheritance come home and be treated that nicely by his father? Is it fair? Life isn't fair. The next thing I want to tell you about is when Jesus was talking to his disciples of what he had done to the rich man, what he had told the rich man, the disciples said, "Boy, that's pretty harsh, isn't it?" And Jesus said, "Well, you kind of." And he says, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, when he's talking about rich, he's talking about people that have the love of money. It isn't that rich men are not going to go to heaven or that poor people are going to go to heaven. It's the love of money. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That's almost impossible. So then people have to kind of invent a story to make this kind of credible. So the story is that in the wall around Jerusalem, the main gate at night is closed up to keep the thieves out. But there's supposed to be a small hole in the wall that's so small that a camel, if they unload him and the camel gets down on his knees and crawls through, he can get through. So that kind of justifies that story. It's unfounded. There's been theologians and people that research that, and they can't find any facts to that thing. The other one was a camel in Greek is spelled K-A-M-E-L-O-S. And there's also another word that's spelled almost the same, but instead of the E, there's an I. And camelos means rope or cable, a ship's cable. Now they thought, well, you could take a strand of that rope and put it through an eye of the needle. But that isn't what Jesus meant. Jesus meant that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. That's exactly what he meant. Now, I can see putting a needle through the eye of a camel. I did a little research on camels, and they aren't friendly. A camel can kick four ways with each leg. I mean, that's 16 times he can, 16 ways he can kick your butt. So I wouldn't want to be around him when you stick that needle in his eye. Now this story is not only in Mark, but this same story is in Matthew and Luke, and they're almost identical. So I'm sure this really happened. A lot of stories are a little bit different by the different Gospels. These are almost word for word. Now the last part of this is, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. What in the world does that mean? What it does mean is that when we finally go to heaven, we're all going to be on the same level. Whether you're a prince or a pauper or a servant or a master, we're all going to be equal. Now, to end this little sermon, I read this Portals of Prayer every morning. I do it in my library. I have a tub and a shower and a sink in my library. But when I read this is about 3 weeks old, and I knew I was going to be doing this sermon. When I read this thing, it's Saturday, September 29th. I thought, boy, that's a perfect closing for this sermon. It's called Sharing Heaven. Now this comes in with the last part, that many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. This is what this says. The talk show host was shouting, inflamed with rage. A brutal murderer on death row claimed to have found God. The condemned man was expecting forgiveness and life in heaven. Would you mind, the host demanded of his listeners, sharing heaven with this man? If we're honest, we'd probably admit that it does bother us. Few of us have committed brutal murder. We know we're sinners in need of forgiveness. We also tend to think of ourselves as pretty good people, not that hard to forgive. Surely it must be much harder for God to forgive someone like this condemned man than it is for him to forgive us. But Jesus reminds us that his forgiveness is free and available to all. In his eyes, all are equally in need of forgiveness, for all of us have offended the holy God with our rebellion. Jesus reminds us of the joy in heaven when one sinner comes to him for forgiveness, and we rejoice to know that one sinner is each of us. The joy of heaven is the joy of full forgiveness and hearts transformed into response. The thought of sharing heaven is good news. We know that because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, no sin need keep any of us out. Dear Jesus, thank you that your death and resurrection opened heaven to all people, including me. Amen. I believe next is our collection.
Yafatori is Why Me, Lord. This was a song that was written by Chris Christopherson in the 70s. And he wrote it after he had an experience where he actually accepted Jesus. God has given us so many things in our lives, and yet we've done nothing to deserve all the blessings that we've received. Our salvation is a gift, and nobody really deserves it. because we've been given that gift, we in turn need to turn our hearts to other people and do as much to help others as we can.
In response to your gracious blessing, we come with offering to our time and treasure. May these gifts bring hope and healing to the world in need. Amen. As disciples of Christ Jesus, called to love and serve all people, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent reflection. Good teacher, your word is living and active in the church. By your spirit, give us that will to leave behind those things that hold us back from following you and serving others. Lord, in your mercy. God, our treasure, help us cherish your gifts of creation and be good stewards of all you provide. Lord, in your mercy. God of hosts, you demand justice and hate oppression. Give the world honest leaders who speak the truth, uphold the rights of the poor, and work for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, with boldness we pray for those who suffer adversity, addiction, alienation, or illness, especially Gary and Sharon Beatty, who are mourning the loss of their son-in-law. Give them mercy and help in time of need. Lord, in your mercy. Son of God, our great high priest, direct the spiritual life of this congregation that we continually seek you in prayer, praise, and service. Lord, in your mercy. We rejoice with the saints who live steadfastly in your love and now rest in your peace. We look to the day when we too will praise you face to face. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayers, faithful God, and renew us by your Spirit, that we may joyfully love and serve you and one another, through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
We will now sing the Lord's Prayer, led by the praise team.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as in heaven. Give to us
our daily bread,
and forgive us
all our sins,
as we forgive those
who do harm to us,
and lead us not
away from you.
For the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory,
all
yours, now and
forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing song is Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
And also we wanted to remind everybody, next Sunday we're hoping will be a polka service, so I'm ready to sing.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan, what did I see? Coming for to carry me